welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We're down here in sunshine Florida without much sunshine today with a very nice-sized hurricane headed towards us. But it's all good. We're usually pretty prepared for these, and everybody is ready. So other than that, we're holding on pretty strong. How are you doing today, Dad?
Well, I went out to the barn, and I checked out my well, and I checked out my backup battery systems and my solar panels if they stay on the roof. And everything was working fine. I mean, it's just all just clicking along. We've got like 40 batteries out there that can run the wells and the solar panels, recharge them. And in the event that we have a storm and a power outage, we can shift to alternative power and keep water and everything else that we need and keep the freezers frozen. So we're good. I mean, that's all you can do is prepare. And that's what we always preach to the listeners, that, you know, just prepare. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in, you know, and whatever. Just be prepared. See, what they're doing here is back in the 60s, they started really working on dialing in the weather with the Vietnam War and flooding the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And they really learned how to cloud seed and how to direct storms and how to stop storms and how to ice nuclei the storms and put them out, basically put a quash on them. The only way a hurricane works is it has to have heat. It has to have heat from the water. It has to have generated heat. If you drop ice nuclei from the plains above the storm, you chill it down really, really fast, and you make it very, very weak, and you can actually dissipate it. Now, they already know how to do that. In fact, Castro for years said that we were parking storms over Cuba and just basically flooding the island all the time, which we probably were. That's probably what we were doing. But the reality is this is obfuscation for the election. Now, you guys are thinking that I'm out in Narnia somewhere. Guys, this is just patents now. They've got the patents filed for weather manipulation and control using HARP, steering the storms, using the ionosphere heaters. I mean, this is all dialed in the 2014 storms. It was dialed in with, you know, when it hit New Orleans. It was dialed in the following year with, you know, when it hit up to it was Sandy. I mean, all of this stuff has just been dialed in and beta tested. They know how to do all of this now. They could stop the storm anytime they wanted to by ice nucleation. That'd be easy enough. Or they could put the big high pressures on right on top of Florida right now, and that low pressure is not going to come this way. It's going to push it out back into the Atlantic. But they're doing this to basically the presidential election on Sunday night. They already know that Trump's going to come in there kicking butt. That's it. He's had enough. I hope he does anyhow. If he doesn't do another wimp presentation, I hope he comes in and really, really dogs her for what she's done. And if he does that, they don't want that to be the main story. They want to be the hurricane sitting off the coast of Charleston, churning out in the Atlantic, making everybody wonder what it's going to be doing, so they can do some emergency interrupt in the middle of the debate and, you know, start with a beep, 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 emergency interrupt, warning, you know, everything they're going to do. These guys are desperate to try to do everything they possibly can. They control the weather. They control the economy. They control the stock market. They do everything they want to do, because they've got the ability from a technological standpoint to do all of that with their flash trades and all the things they do. Look what they've done to the gold market and the silver market, how they've rigged all of that. All we are is pawns in this game of chess that they are playing. The problem is we have too many guns for them. That's their problem. I'm being straight. In fact, I talked to another show host today for over an hour, and I told her, I said, the only reason that we are not gone and done and marched off the FEMA camps already is that we have hundreds of millions of guns, because our forefathers knew what these tyrants were all about, because they had to deal with King George and the nutbags out of England and the redcoats, and they knew what they were capable of doing and how they would try to force their boot upon your throat. And they said, no more, we're arming the public. Everybody has the right to bear arms, and it cannot be infringed upon. That's what they put in the Constitution, because they knew if they didn't do it, sooner or later, 100 years, 200 years down the road, we'd get another tyrannical government, which is what we have right now, and if they had the ability, they'd put the boot back down to us again, they'd boot stomp us again, and they didn't want that to happen. They wanted this constitutional republic to be able to withstand the throes of a dictatorship or another King Obama or whatever. And remember, guys, he's being controlled through the Council of 300, through the Bilderberger Group, through the Vatican, through the satanic groups that run the planet, through the upper echelons of the Masonic lodges. I mean, it's all tied together in this giant one world global conspiracy network that has their allegiance to Lucifer. And those are the guys that are running the show. And that's just is what it is. And, you know, that's what I told the show host, and she was saying, well, I don't know if I can believe all that. I said, well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. They believe it. doesn't matter. That's just funny. It doesn't matter if we believe any of it. These guys like to drink and eat blood and babies and weird things like that. I mean, they're a bunch of sickos because they're serving their master Lucifer, because he hates God's creation and he wants to do everything he possibly can because he knows he can't defeat God. So what, if he can't defeat God, he's just going to destroy everything God tries to make. That's what it's all about. So that's what the storm's all about. The storm's about more obfuscation. More, let's get something else in the, this is a really big deal, Monica missiles, what this is. In other words, when Bill and Hillary were in the White House, basically every time he had another bimbo eruption and all the stuff broke loose with him lying under oath, et cetera, having oral sex in the White House, we had to explain to all of our children back then what oral sex was. What ended up happening at that point is they would just launch some missiles into Afghanistan or wherever they were shooting missiles into, and they would basically call them the Monica missiles because they wanted to obfuscate the story and make another story take center stage and front page. That's what they do. Another story, Jerry Brown, Moonbeam Brown, a weirdo Brown, wants to force everybody into basically having children get autism with immunizations, signs a law in California now to stop anti-Muslim bullying, to stop only anti-Muslim bullying. You can bully anybody else. You can't bully Muslims. Doesn't matter if you're Christian. Breitbart. Last week, California Governor Jerry Brown signed Assembly Bill 2845, the Safe Place to Learn Act, which seeks to protect students from anti-Muslim bullying and no other kind of bullying based on religion. The bill introduced by the Assemblyman Das Williams claims pupils are Muslim, Sith, the guy reminds me of Darth Vader, or of South Asian, that's an offshoot of the Hindu religion, or of South Asian descent often face verbal, physical, or online harassment, all of which have significant effects on their academic achievement. The bill also cites approvingly the federal government call on Muslim parents to contact the U.S. Department of Justice if their children experience bullying in school. Now, I want to stop here for a second. Okay, as if this is not bad enough, okay? You can't call the principal, okay? You can't call the principal. Say, my kid's getting picked on. They want you to call the U.S. Department of Justice. And they're, somebody said my little boy was a raghead today, so I'm calling the U.S. Department of Justice. Really? Okay. The bill was supported by the Council on American Islamic Relations, of course it was, which was declared a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates and an undoubted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terror funding trial. It argues that the Sith and South Asian students are also targeted mistakenly by anti-Muslim bullying because of the way the students may dress or look. There is nothing in the bill about bullying of Christians or Jews, whether by Muslims or other students. State Senator Joel Anderson opposed the bills, telling the San Diego Tribune, religions of bullying of any faith is wrong, and I would support a bill that was inclusive of all faiths. I agree. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, I saw that article earlier, too, and I mean, what's crazy about all that is the same thing like Joel Anderson you just said. I mean, any type of bullying is wrong, especially any type of religious bullying for any reason is wrong, especially in school, because children are in such a volatile stage with their self-esteem and growing and trying to figure out who they are, and bullying is just rough. It's not fun for anybody, and the problem is now doing this, it completely opens up another door now to essentially allow the Muslims to have another step above us and essentially making them better than everybody else in America. As we've already seen before now, they've brought all these different rules in with this. You can't tell Muslims to do this. You can't have them do this. If they demand, you know, halal food, you have to give them that. You can't refuse service even if they come in with a suicide vest on because, you know, you're basically an anti-Muslim at that point. It doesn't matter. So what's going on now with this is now we're taking it a step further down into the school system, the same thing I've talked about so many times on this show, where they're indoctrinating the kids and then now thinking that Muslims are actually going to be above them. They're going to be superior to them, regardless if they actually say that or not. They're implying that with these actions. Whenever you sign a bill like this and say that a certain group of individuals are basically fully exempt and you're not allowed to bully them because of who they are, and you completely forget about the entire massive group of Christians and Jews and every other type of religion that are in the schools that probably make up 98% to 99% of the population, and you single out this 1% and escalate them and raise them up on a higher level, all you're doing is in basically telling the kids indirectly in the school that Muslims are superior to you, and you basically need to submit to them. This is all about getting Sharia law implemented in the United States so we lose our fundamental basis of Christianity in this country. That's what it's been about before. That's what it's been about every time with the Muslims. They do not respect any other religion at all. The only thing they want is to implement their Muslim Sharia law, and until they do that, they are never satisfied with anything.
Now, I will say one thing about the Muslims, though. Positive. I'm not everybody's going, what's he going to say now? I'll say something positive about it. They do recognize Jesus Christ as a prophet only second to Muhammad. Now, that's pretty impressive because no other religions do that. I mean, they actually are closer to Christianity from that standpoint with the recognizing of Jesus Christ than any other religion on the planet. The problem that what ends up happening is when you have these radical Muslims that want to force everybody to convert to become a Muslim or die, and we bring these people in after we killed all of their families in the Middle East and we wonder why they don't like us, it causes problems. But again, remember, the globalists about 70 years ago decided they were going to go into the third world countries and rape them of all their natural resources, allow a massive population explosion in these third world countries, which they wouldn't use these populations from these third world countries to come into the West, into Europe, to destroy the infrastructure through Clowart and Piven, basically. This is before Clowart and Piven actually was developed. But that's what they decided to do. And that's exactly what they're doing. See, that's what everybody has to need to understand. That's the one thing it took me a long time to kind of get. This thing is just not a 2-year plan. But, you know, in marketing, they teach you how to develop goals, and they teach you how to develop superordinate goals. The long-term goal of these nutbags, these globalists, these Luciferians, is to bring in a one-world dictatorship worshiping the devil. That's what they want to do. So, in the meantime, mental goals, those are all the goals that are not the superordinate goal, the 5-year, the 10-year, the 20-year, the 50-year, the 80-year, the 100-year timeline. Because these interdimensional entities that are running the show, apparently they have a very long timeline as far as their lifespans. So they don't care if it takes them 100 years or 200 years or 300 years to get something done. It doesn't make much difference. If you live to be several thousand years old or whatever, 50,000 years old, who cares? Then what difference does it mean if you got to take 200 or 300 years to enslave a population of a country? It doesn't make a difference. See, so I don't know how long these things live. God never really talks about it in the Bible as far as how long angels actually live. All we know, they are interdimensional entities, so we don't understand something. But I do know this. When Christ died in his physical body on the planet, it caused earthquakes and all kinds of crazy things happened to the fabric of time-space, because being part God, part man, he was an interdimensional entity. I mean, he could walk through doors, walk on water. When he died in the physical sense of the flesh, not from a spiritual standpoint, but from a physical standpoint, to sacrifice himself for us, it ripped a hole in the fabric of time space that basically, you know, would have been cataclysmic, I'm sure, if God had not changed it. So I don't understand what happens when these interdimensional things, other than Christ himself, start to die or get checked out or whatever. I don't understand any of that stuff. I'd have to do some more research on that if anybody's ever written anything on any of that. So I don't know if any of us as human beings actually know what happens at that level in that dimension. But let's talk a little nutrition today. People are always asking me to go back over this top 10 list of foods never to eat. And I'm going to do it this time, but I'm also going to use Austin as a tossback so he can give me some feedback on this. When I was working as a full-time nutritionist here in Florida, and we had the largest clinic that I knew of in the southeastern United States, we had up to 40 patients a day coming in, and what I was finding was this. The vast majority of the people that had heart disease, diabetes, cancer, ADD, all these different diseases, you know, high blood pressure, all this stuff, high cholesterol, they all ate the same foods, had the same lifestyle. So what we did, we put together a list of foods and lifestyle choices that were causing so many of the health problems in the folks that come to my office. And I got to the point where I could actually start talking to people, and sometimes I could tell just by looking at them, because we were doing, you know, some pretty good body chemistry analysis on the folks when they came in. And I would talk to the people, and we do body chemistry analysis, we do parasite testing, all that kind of stuff. And invariably, we found that the people who had the parasites were the people who had animals at home, especially cats in the house, dogs in the house. And we started seeing a lot of parasite infestations. We started seeing a lot of problems with high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, cancer, all based on foods that were people were eating. So I put together this top 10 list of foods never to eat, and we put this together back in the early 90s, and then we started using it on radio, TV, talk shows, along with huge seminars we were doing that we had up to 40,000 people in attendance. And I would actually come out for half an hour or so, whatever we had on that particular seminar, and I would talk about the top 10 foods never to eat and how you could lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels without the use of drugs. And we had a huge response to these seminars, huge response. Now, the number one food we tell people never to eat, Austin, are the high-fat luncheon meats. I include bacon, sausage, hot dogs, anything with sodium nitrite, any pork products. There's a really good article that was done in the Biological Therapy, Volume 1, Number 2, 1983, by Professor Hans Reckwig. The name of the article is called The Adverse Influence of Pork Consumption on Health. And he actually lists pork as a homotoxin. I believe we got that whole article listed at Health Master. You can actually pull it up. And what was interesting about this article, he actually talked about how different animals, if they were fed a diet of strict pork, they would die. And different, you know, fish would die. And so it was kind of interesting because he said that pork was a poison that you should never put into your body. And sure enough, last year, the World Health Organization finally came out and told the whole world that Ted Brewer was right. Of course, it wasn't Ted Brewer's teachings right out of the Old Testament, but I was trying to tell everybody about it 30 years ago, that pork was a cancer-causing agent and it needed to be avoided. This was from the World Health Organization last year. And I don't even like the World Health Organization, but they even came out and admitted pork was bad. Now, what's interesting about this is, pork itself burns too hot in the body. It causes an elevated blood urea, makes the blood too thick. In addition to that, it can really massively increase the risks of gout and uric acid crystals. Plus, you can get parasites from it, from trichina larvae. Excuse me. Now, let me explain something to you. These are microscopic parasites that get into your muscle tissue. You have to use a microscope to see them. So in other words, if you cut the pig open, you're not going to see trichina. They're too small. However, I did speak to an FDA meat inspector when I used to work out at Woody's Health Club back in the 80s in Auburndale, where we live. And he basically told me that he had never seen a hog cut open yet that wasn't filled with intestinal worms and parasites in the intestinal tract. He said they were all full of worms. Every time he opened one up, he said even and said the wild hogs were much worse. So tells me why I don't eat wild hog. Now, what was interesting about this is people used to always say to me, and they used to argue with me, well, we make sure our pork is cooked properly so we don't get trichinosis. And I always laugh because you have to cook pork at like 600 or 700 degrees to kill the trichina larvae, which is basically impossible. Now, but let me step through it again. One more thing about that. Think about this for a second. Here's the pork infused with trichina and parasites. And now you're saying, I'm going to cook it enough to kill the parasites, then I'm going to eat it. Now, you can't take the parasites out of the meat, so you're eating the dead cooked parasites with the pork. Now, think about that for a second. Why would you want to do that? If why would you want to eat any meat that was infested with parasites with the possibility of causing you to come down with trichinosis? So that's why I always tell people the Bible is very clear in the Old Testament, Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, about the eating of unclean meats. That includes pork. And it says basically if you eat these foods, you're going to live long and prosper. And if you don't eat these foods, you're going to live long and prosper as far as the bad foods. If you eat the good foods, you're going to live long and prosper. Okay, I'm going to do this over again. I'm confusing everybody. I'm confusing myself. If you eat the foods the Bible tells you not to eat, you're going to die of cancer and heart disease and all these long and lingering diseases. It says that. Doesn't call it cancer. It calls it long and lingering and wasting diseases. If you don't eat these foods, you're going to live long and you're going to prosper because you're going to obey the Old Testament dietary guidelines. That has nothing to do with salvation. You get to heaven just as quick eating pork as you do not eating pork. The difference is you're probably going to get there a lot quicker eating pork and you're going to feel horrible while you're here. So question again. You know I'm right, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Austin, have you ever knowingly in all of your 28 years with me, have you ever knowingly seen me sit down and eat pork?
No, never.
I don't do it.
No.
I'm a better Jew and Muslim than most of the Jews and Muslims who eat pork. I don't do it because that's the truth. I told one time I was sitting at a table with a bunch of Jews one time on a cruise ship. And this isn't a Jew joke, okay? This is the truth, okay? We were on this cruise ship and we had made friends with all these Jewish folks. They were all doctors and lawyers and attorneys. Really nice people. And they're down there eating these pork meals. And I said, guys, I'm not going to do this. And they looked at me and go, why not? I said, I'm eating kosher. And I said, bring me the salmon. And the guy goes, you don't eat pork? I said, no. They said, you're not a Jew. And I said, I know I'm not a Jew. You are a Jew. Why are you eating pork? Austin, this really happened. And so I'm looking at the guy and I said, dude, you're supposed to be a Jew. You're supposed to be, he goes, yeah, but Jews can eat pork. And I said, Jews can't eat pork. He goes, yes, they can. It depends on how it's blessed by the rabbi. I said, where are you reading this stuff from? Where are you reading this stuff from? Have you not read your own Torah? And then he said to me, we don't read the Torah. We read the Babylonian Talmud. And I went, oh, well, I haven't read that, but I still don't believe you're going to eat pork in it. It's so ridiculous. But he'd be actually got an argument. He was a Jewish psychiatrist out of New York, I kid you not, and he told me that. And I looked at him and I started laughing at him, and he got kind of mad at me because I was laughing at him. I said, dude, you eat your pork, I'm going to eat my salmon. Have fun with all that. You can deal with the parasites after you eat it. Because now you're eating it in China. There's no telling how that thing was cooked. Now, what's interesting about it is this. I tell people about this, and I told them about this for all of my life, and sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Pork increases your risk of cancer, period. That's it. So if you want to eat pork, whatever, you know, but don't eat pork with sodium nitrite in it, ever. Don't eat beef with sodium nitrite. Sodium nitrite reacts with stomach acid to form nitrosamines. Nitrosamines are one of the most effective agents to cause gastrointestinal cancers, including pancreatic cancers. In fact, if you eat a lot of luncheon meats with sodium nitrite, you have a massive increase of pancreatic cancer. Years ago, I remember, I had a lady who was in a class with me at Carpenter's Home Church, which is now defunct and gone. They built a huge 10,000 square foot facility in Lakeland that's been torn down now. I mean, to the foundation, to the ground, the dirt's there with the grass now. And it was a beautiful facility. But before they moved out there, this is back in the 80s, I taught for, I think, 4 years a class every Wednesday night on health and nutrition. This is way back when I was in my 20s. Young, and I had all this energy to do all these crazy things like teach for 4 years without getting paid, that kind of stuff, which is okay because I was helping people. And what was interesting is I had a lady who basically came to me after class one time and told me my husband eats hot dogs like every day. Like he loves hot dogs. He eats a pack of hot dogs every day. I'm like, well, what else he eats by hot dogs? He goes, well, he eats a few vegetables and hot dogs. That's what he has every day. He loves hot dogs. And I'm like, well, does he eat the stuff without sodium nitrite? She goes, no, he only eats the stuff with sodium nitrite. Says he likes it better. Says it tastes better. And I said, it's going to give him intestinal cancer. He can't do that. She goes, well, he doesn't care. And I said, well, I can't help you. What do you want me to say? He goes, well, I'm just let you know. About 3 years later, she could not stop coming to class, and I saw her in class, and sure enough, her husband had died of colorectal cancer. Now, I'm not saying that to say I told you so. I'm not doing that, okay? I had another lady, she was basically the head of the Republican chair for the state of Florida back in the 80s, and I'm not going to mention her name because she's dead now. May she rest in peace because she had some problems. And she ended up basically getting really mad at me one time when I was on WCIE. Her husband was a doctor in town. And basically had her husband get me kicked off of WCIE, which is a huge radio show back in the 80s. And he did. I was on there, been on there for every month for like several years, doing a monthly talk show on health. The most popular show they had on CIE at that time, other than The Morning Coast with Rita Christie and Jim Gates. And what ended up happening is, she got mad because I would do my show with Tom once a month, Tom Trolson, from 11 until 12. And at 12 o'clock, she had a 5-minute segment that she was called the Happy Homemaker. I kid you not. And she had all these crazy, she was like what's that lady who cooks all those horrible foods? She's off the air now.
Paula Deen.
She was like the Paula Deen of Central Florida, and all she did was put out junk food recipes. And finally, she started getting letters because she's putting all these ham recipes out. Why in the world are you basically, telling people to eat pork when Ted Brower's reading Bible verses that it's bad? Well, she got so angry about that, Austin, that she actually went to the board of directors for the church and had me kicked off of WCIE. I actually had a behind-the-scenes meeting in the green room with two medical doctors who came back there basically chewing me out because I told people not to eat pork. I'm not even making this stuff up. And I was basically banned from the radio station, which was ridiculous because I was just telling people the truth. Now, here it is, 30, 40 years later, the whole World Health Organization comes out and says, hey, this stuff's really bad for you, don't eat it. But God's Word knew it back when. In fact, I was talking to the show host today. I'll be on her show next week for about an hour. And she says she's not a Christian. She didn't really understand Christianity. So I explained to her how Christianity works and what it really is. And she says, well, why don't the churches teach this? This is really interesting. This really sounds kind of neat. And I said, well, because they don't know. They don't look at it from a physics standpoint of what Christianity is. They don't look at the blood of Jesus as a step-up Tesla transformer coil that broadcasts the healing frequency of creation from God to us through all time-space to restore us to the righteousness of Christ. They don't get that. And she goes, well, I don't get that either. I said, well, I'll have to try to do a whole teaching on that for you. I said, but it's just, that's how Christianity is supposed to be taught, but it's not. This is real basic, and people don't understand it because they see the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it preachers on TV, and they're like, I don't want to be like these people. These people act like a bunch of weirdos, which is true. In fact, if you want to read about one of the worst weirdos, there's a book you can get online. It's $20 or whatever. It's worth the read. It's by Trey Smith, T-R-E-Y, Smith. Did an excellent job. It's called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S, about several TV evangelists that he really, really dislikes and how they used to work for one of them and some of the truths about behind the scenes, what's going on with that group. But I'm not going to give you the guy's name. I did that one time. I had to delete my own archive. I'm not going to do that. So just read the book if you'd like. Or you can watch him online. He talks about it online, too. He's got some great YouTube videos, too. He does on interdimensional entities, which are really, really good YouTube videos, by the way, on giants and stuff. Now, anyhow, back to number two. Number two on the list are basically aspartame products, which we've beaten that thing like a dead horse. See, that's basically the diet sodas. Brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. This list goes on and on and on. Years ago, I was in Celebration, Florida, and I was walking through the streets there, and they had a Thomas Kincaid gallery, and the guy was basically selling really nice paintings there at that time. His name was Scott, and he basically, we went inside to look at some paintings, and this Thomas Kincaid was known as the painter of light, and he ended up dying a few years ago. But what was interesting about this is probably 10, 15 years ago, I was there, and we were walking through, and we were looking at some of the paintings, because we loved the old Norman Rockwell kind of style of photos, paintings, et cetera, and he was drinking a diet soda. And I told him, I said, look, dude, I said, you know, you can do what you want to do. I said, but, you know, I'm a research biochemist trained at Florida State University. I said, that product causes brain cancer. And he goes, no, it doesn't. I said, yeah, it does. He said, look, if the government knew it caused brain cancer, they wouldn't allow it to be sold. And I said, why do they let cigarettes stay on the market? They know they cause cancer too. I said, that's a fallacy. I said, you think they're protecting you, but they're not. And so he started laughing. He just went hysterical, laughing like a hyena. I'll never forget this. And then basically, I told him, I said, well, you can laugh all you want to laugh. I said, I'm just telling you the truth. And I took him to my website, showed him who we were, you know, did a Google search of my name, got all these hits. He said, dude, buddy, I'm just telling you, this is what it does. In one primate study using monkeys, rhesus monkeys, every monkey developed grand mal epileptic seizures using this product. And it causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches. If you combine sodium nitrite, like a pepperoni pizza or a hot dog, like we talked about the first thing with the luncheon meats, and you combine that with aspartame, you create what's called a diketiopeperazine. Peperazine in neurochemistry, it's called a DKP. That degrades the form nitrosuria, and nitrosureas are the most effective agent known to man to produce a malignant brain tumor. So basically, if you want somebody to get brain cancer, you give them pepperoni pizza and a diet soda. That's basically simple. That's how it works, Oz. So what ended up happening is, so Scott laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, laugh what you want to laugh. I said, I'm going to go. I'm not going to buy any paintings. I've had enough of this. Well, about a year later, I went back over there, and I was with Dr. Lenny Giamatteo from Southeastern University. And you can call him up and ask Lenny. Leave a message. He'll call you back. Well, maybe he will. I don't know. Probably know you. He probably won't if you don't know. He doesn't know you. But that's where he works. You can leave a message with him. Dr. Lenny Giamatteo, Southeastern University, Lakeland, Florida. He's a full professor there. And we were walking through Celebration, and this Thomas Kincaid Gallery was there, and I looked inside, and I saw Scott, and I walked by real quick and told Lenny, I said, let's go. He was like, I want to go in there. I said, no, man. I said, the last time I was in, the guy was laughing and laughing and laughing at me because I told him stuff causes brain cancer. And so we walked by. I got about 50 feet away, so he tapped on my shoulder and said, Dr. Brower, Scott wants you to come back and talk to him. And I'm like, oh, gosh, not again. I told Lenny, I said, all right, let's go back in and see the guy. So Scott was sitting there, Austin, and Lenny was with me, and Scott, I looked at him, he didn't stand up. He looked pretty peaked. And I said, Scott, are you okay? He goes, no, man. He goes, I've got brain cancer. And I'm like, oh gosh. I said, I'm so sorry, Scott. And, you know, we laid hands on him, we prayed for him, and he was dead a few months later. And the sad part about it is, guys, when God sends you a rowboat in the middle of a flood, you need to get in it. If God sends you a helicopter with a rope, and you're stranded on a roof, you need to tie the rope around your waist and get out of there. I mean, sometimes God will send somebody to help you, and if you don't listen to them, you got to deal with the consequences. I believe with all of my heart, may Scott rest in peace, that God sent me there to save that man. For some reason, God liked him and sent me there that day to talk to him about what I talked to him about, because probably nobody else in Orlando could have done that. But I did that. And the crazy thing was, he refused to listen, had wanted nothing to do with any of it, and ended up being dead a little over a year later from brain cancer. So guys, listen to me for a second. We don't make this stuff up. I mean, we're going to tell you the truth. I'm not linked to Monsanto, okay? I'm not a Russian agent. I'm just Ted Brower, you know, German kid. And think about this. Say, well, Ted Brower's a Russian agent because he likes Putin. Well, that's stupid, number one, because they were accusing Alex Jones and Roger Stone of being Russian agents last week. Here's what's stupid about that. My parents were Germans, okay? The Germans really didn't like the Russians in World War II. The Russians probably killed half of my natural born family. I'm not a Russian agent. I just happen to like Putin. And I realized that the Rothschild banking cartel is the ones who put Stalin in power and Lenin in power and everybody else in power. And these are the ones basically that I dislike. Russia has done nothing wrong to me, and it has some of the nicest people that I've ever met in the world. When I was there one time, gosh, 20 years ago with Austin, he's still a little kid, and they're really, really nice people. So I've never met a mean Russian. Well, I take that back. The guys at the Border Patrol weren't real friendly. Then they were kind of wondering why we, the Americans in the late 90s, were there, because they were so broke, bless their hearts. But, you know, they were, but other than that, everybody else downtown, everybody else was really, really friendly to us. So guys, yes, Listen to me. When we give you this information, it's because it's real, okay? Number three on that list is margarine.
Let me interject real quick. Sure. There with aspartame, Dad. There's sure. Something that I wanted to address, because a lot of people, I've told a lot of friends about this, when they'll have, you know, packets of gum with them, and they'll be like, hey, you want a piece of gum? And sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind a piece of gum right now, but every single time without fail, the first thing I do is flip the pack over and look at the ingredients in it, because I want to know what it's sweetened with. There's some gums that are natural. They have like stevia sweetener. They have like a sugar alcohol sweetener, which is, you know, not too bad. And so, you know, I always look at it, but almost probably 9 times out of 10, it's always aspartame and all these chewing gums that everybody has. And I explained to him, I said, the issue is when you chew gum with aspartame in it, it's sublingually absorbed in your mouth, your gums, and your sure. tongue. According to research now, because aspartame, when it's absorbed this way, it makes aspartame far worse poisoning than if given injected intravenously. The aspartame actually goes directly into the brain by passing the spinal cord and the blood-brain barrier when it's absorbed in your mouth. The smallest amount of aspartame is super dangerous and damaging to your health in this type of way when you use it this way. Because understand, when you eat something or you drink something, say like a diet soda, which is very common, it's going to your digestive tract, your pancreas, and then your liver is going to metabolize some of it, and it's going to handle some amount of toxins. That's why you can drink alcohol. Some people drink alcohol and they don't die. If we couldn't absorb it, we couldn't process it, you would die as soon as you drank alcohol. Well, it's the same concept, but when you chew gum, which almost everybody I know that I run into, I get onto them, because when they chew gum, it always has aspartame in it. It goes directly through the blood-brain barrier because it's delivered sublingually, the same way our sublingual B12 is delivered. That's why our B12 is so effective, because these methylcobalamin B12, and it goes right into the bloodstream, bypasses the stomach, the liver, everything. So, guys, please, the best thing you can do is make sure you're staying off aspartame gum. If anything, the diet sodas are horrible, the aspartame in food is horrible, but keep it out of your mouth, especially with the gum, because I know people that will chew on that stuff and smack on it all day long and go piece after piece after piece, and all they're doing is poisoning themselves with this stuff. So I just wanted to kind of address that real quick, Dad, as far as with the aspartame while we were on that topic.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, aspartame also causes memory lapse.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that they use phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol, paint thinner. I mean, this is methanol. This isn't ethanol. This isn't Jack Daniels. This is methanol. This is poison. They use, it's like paint thinner. They use paint thinner, it's, you know, the phenylalanine and aspartic acid. Aspartic acid eats holes in the brains of people who use it. And the phenylalanine in high concentrations is poisonous to everybody. If you can't handle phenylalanine, you should never take a phenylalanine product anyhow, because you can't digest it. So it's just one of those deals. They took three things, they mixed them together, and it basically is a brain entrainment compound. It basically destroys your memory in a lot of people, and it makes you have very bad problems with depression. Very, very depressed from aspartame. So I know people right now that are pastors who preach the pulpit every Sunday who have severe problems with depression, who won't even look at the fact that they're drinking 2 liters of diet soda every single day, and they just suck down diet soda constantly, and they think it's okay. And they're completely and totally addicted to it. Because remember, it's a dopamine trigger when you drink aspartame, and it could basically, it gets you psychologically addicted to it like cocaine or heroin would. So what ends up happening, you become physically addicted to it after you become psychologically addicted to it because of the dopamine trigger, and you want it, you want it, you want it. I know people, if you try to take their diet sodas away, they'll scream at you. I had a lady one time, it was in Indianapolis. I'll never forget this. We had a multi-tier stadium that we were speaking in. And they asked me to go back and speak to the people at the tape table, because I don't like doing that, because I don't like arguing with people, because if they don't like what I've got to say, that's okay. Just, I'm not going to argue with you about it, because I'm trained in this field. It's like telling a painter how to paint a house when he knows you're wrong. It just doesn't mean he doesn't want to argue with you about it. Just hire another painter. That's how he looks at it. So I'm back at this table, and some lady, Austin, it was nuts. I remember Tony Dursel was on the road with me back then, and he was at the table with me. I remember some lady walked up to me, and she had a diet soda. She shoved it in my face. I mean, like an inch from my nose. And she starts screaming at me, "I'm going to drink this, and I don't care what you say. Do you hear me?" And I'm like, okay, what do you think about that? I said, I don't care. Drink it. Do you think it matters to me if you poison your brain with aspartame? Obviously, your brain's not working anyhow. Drink it. And she, what do you mean by that? I said, you heard what I said, drink it. She, you think I should drink it? I said, I think you need to do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me if you drink aspartame. It's not going to affect me one bit. Drink it. I don't care. And she stomped off, and I thought to myself, well, that's probably the last time I'm ever going to the tape table, because I don't want to deal with these nutbags. The aspartame people are the worst when they're addicted to that product coming off. Now, we got too many other stories, and what I'll do is next few days, next week or so, I'll go through these entire top 10 foods never to eat. I'm going to tell you the foods that poison so many of my customers and my patients. And I'm going to do a detailed analysis on them, just like we did today. I can't do them today. It'll take up the whole show, probably another show. So we'll filter them in a couple at a time for the next week. So you can send this link to everybody on the top 10 foods never to eat. Or maybe we should do it this way. The top 10 foods the globalists want you to eat so they can reduce the population of the planet. Whoa, there's a good one.
Yeah.
The top 10 foods the globalists want you to eat for population reduction. There's your topic. Since we're doing this show on health now and we're tying together these nutbag globalists. Busted. Hillary has planted a child actor to ask questions at a pathetic town hall meeting. What Hillary's doing now is she's so afraid somebody's going to show up with a Bill Clinton is a rapist shirt at these meetings and run around in front of the camera that she stages her little rallies now, and she'll bring in 20 or 30 actors, and then she'll stage people like a 15-year-old girl who wants to talk about body disorder images, who basically comes in and asks her questions. So it'll be like it was with Lester Holt. These are staged interviews. These are staged everything. She can't draw a crowd, but she doesn't want a crowd. She wants a staged town hall meeting so she can make it look like she knows what she's doing and she's actually interacting with the masses, or the little people, as she likes to call us. The little people don't need to have this. The little people don't need this. The little people don't need that. Well, I hate to tell her, there's a whole bunch of little people. When you take a whole bunch of little people and you add them all up, it makes a really big person. And we're all tired of her stupid attitude that she has and her nauseating personality. So, whatever. Trump supporters are lining the highway to troll Bill Clinton in Ohio. Literally thousands of Trump supporters had lined the highway for at least a quarter of a mile to when Bill Clinton was driving by, because they wanted to let him know that Hillary wasn't coming into Ohio, which I thought was great. And by the way, Chicago is the latest to sanction Wells Fargo for defrauding customers. This is out of Reuters. The Chicago City Council on Wednesday approved a one-year suspension for Wells Fargo from city business because of a scandal over phony accounts. This whole company needs to be shut down. The ban includes bond underwriting, brokerage, trustee, and other services the bank was provided to the city. Wells Fargo had earned $19.5 million in fees just from Chicago alone since 2005. Nutty, nutty, nutty. What do you think, son?
No, that's definitely what's going on with that. And back to what you were saying with the town hall thing, I did want to address that real quick, too, because it was interesting how they've now found that this girl was actually a child actor, and she's daughter of Democratic Pennsylvania State Senator Daylen Leach, and she specifically brought up in that town hall meeting how with her own eyes she sees the damage Donald Trump does when he talks about women and how they look. And
whatever.
Then Hillary scripted one. She goes, "I'm so proud you're asking that question." She goes on to answer it in another scripted manner, the exact same way. If you read the transcript of it, it's the exact same way she answered all the questions when Lester Holt asked it to her. I even told Lana, my wife, when I was watching that, you know, the debate, she was answering, and I looked at Lynn, and I said, it's maybe just me, I said, but does it seem like she already knows the answer and already has the question preloaded, ready to answer as soon as he asked these questions? Because she literally didn't even hesitate. She already had this perfectly scripted, and then she even tied it in to selling her book. And even did a marketing promo with it on stage. I'm like, no, nah, this isn't normal. This is obviously something going on. So, yeah, there's definitely, it's interesting to see now how crazy she's gotten as far as she can't handle anything off topic or anybody asking her legitimate questions. She's gone now to having to stage everything, Dad, and it's quite pathetic because, man, is this really what these people that are voting for really want in the White House, this type of pathetic human being, I mean, as running the President of the United States?
Well, they don't care. They know what she is. They don't care. They want more free stuff. Everyone wants free stuff, okay? You and me, we got to work. I mean, I'm just today, your mother-in-law, we had to raise her yard because she had flooding in from the last hurricane, so we had to redo sprinklers. I'm outside today digging ditches. I'm in the ditch gluing fitting pipes together for sprinklers because I'm trying to save my mother-in-law, who's on a fixed income, money not to have to bring in a sprinkler repair service because I know how to do all that stuff. So I'm out there digging a ditch today and running sprinklers. Now, you guys think he doesn't really do that. Austin, do I really do that?
Oh, yeah, all the time, man. You've helped me do mine before. You're over there at Crane's digging hers up.
Because, I mean, it's just I can fix it faster. If they say, well, it'll be 3 weeks before you get out there and fix it. Well, I have it done in 30 minutes. I mean, it's just what it is. I learned how to, when I was 8 years old, I had to start mowing a 2 acre piece of property. It was a fish camp with a 20 inch push mower that was not self propelled. I had to push it. And then by the time I was 10 or 12 years old, I was shingling, learning how to shingle and carry shingles up ladders and everything else. By the time I was 13 years old, I was actually working, helping a guy build cottages down the street. His name was Smiley, and that really was his name, his last name. And he had a lychee nut grove, still there. You still see the cottages I built. And we did the framing on the outside. We built, we did that. I mean, I remember the bundles were like 90 pounds a piece. That's where they had the conveyors to put the bundles up there. And there's this little kid running I wasn't running. I was struggling up the ladder with a 90-pound bundle of shingles. And I did all of that stuff. I started painting when I was 8, shingling when I was like 10 or 11 or 12. And so I just learned how to do things and make things work very quickly. I mean, I guess in Germany, the Allies called it jerry-rigging when the Germans would go in and basically just figure out how to do all kinds of crazy stuff and make things work, like with booby traps. I can do all that crazy stuff. I remember one time this is awful, Austin. I dug a big old hole behind my mom's bar and put moss on it because I was going to pull the trap. I was going to catch me a drunk. And I'd seen, I'm not joking. And it was so funny because I'd seen this on a Tarzan movie I'd watched, how they had rigged this deadfall and you dig out a hole. So I covered up with some stuff and put some moss on. Somebody was stepping it and falling into the hole. God, I got beat for that. And the craziest thing about it is that, I was just a kid, just absolutely, in fact, German, it's called Bosatik, which means I was being very mischievous. And I did crazy stuff like that, but I learned how to disassemble all the locks and all the cottages and how to put them all back together again. I was doing all this stuff when I was like 8, 9 years old because I just enjoyed taking things apart and putting them back together. You're the same way. You can take anything apart and put it back together. And that's just what I do. So yes, I do fix sprinklers. I have no idea why I'm talking about this. More than 700 department stores have closed since 2013. That's interesting. Fortune. According to the Risk Fortune magazine, according to the Research Council of the RBC Capital Markets released on Wednesday, Kohl's, Macy's, which also owns the upscale Bloomingdale's chain, JCPenney, Dillard's, and Sears, which also owns Kmart, have closed a total of 700 stores since 2013. That's almost 20% of those chains. Now, guys, the reason this is happening is not because of mismanagement in some cases. It's because of the internet, because of Amazon, because of getting stuff 2 days and having to drive all over the place and trying to get it, because of discounting on Amazon, etc. That's probably the main reason this has happened. I don't think the economy is that bad as far as from the purchasing of retail items and goods at this point. Maybe down a little bit, but the malls are basically a dinosaur. In fact, America's largest mall is closing for Thanksgiving. This is from Fortune again. Could we soon to the joy of shopping free Thanksgiving again? Our nation's largest shopping mall, the Mall of America, will be closed on Thanksgiving for the first time since 2012, according to the Associated Press report, opting for a later start to the shopping bonanza. I mean, guys, sooner or later, the globalists are going to have to realize that it's not about fixed mortar locations now. It's about giving really good service like we do at Health Masters, Austin, and making sure people can get product whenever they want it
anywhere in the world. That's what we've learned to do too. So, I mean, we have the highest quality supplements anywhere in the world, where they're all nutraceutical grade, super high quality, super high dosing. I mean, we have 10,000 IU vitamin D3. I mean, nobody that I even know carries 10,000 IU D3 but us. I mean, that's a really high dosing. And then we also combine it with K2. At those dosing levels, you can take like one of those pills every couple of days. I mean, it's just really high quality stuff. And we use methylcobalamin or B12. I mean, everything we have is stuff that we personally use. If I won't take it, if I won't put it in my body, guys, I'm not selling it to you, because I don't want to be responsible for your health and your health issues if I give you something that's bad. So if my family won't take it, I won't take it. What do you have to say about that, Oz?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, we even got the manufacturer for our purple sticks to actually switch over to methylcobalamin single-handed, because when they originally had that formula, they liked using the cheaper form of B12 in it, and we flat-out told them, we said, this product's really good, we like it, but we're going to change some stuff in it, and that's what we did, and now the product's been just top of the line. People, I mean, literally order from all over the world. I just had an order that went to Australia yesterday. They had ordered three boxes of it, and a few other products. And I mean, there's a reason why people order this stuff from literally countries all across the globe, because we carry some really good stuff and we really try to help people out. When you email us, we answer you back. I mean, I've been answering emails all day again. You know, we'll be open again tomorrow, even during the hurricane. Even if the power's out, I'll have the generator running. Now, if we start having severe lightning, I may end up shutting down the phones, because I don't want to have the whole system get blown out again. But we'll see what happens. But that's what we do. We're family-oriented. We do this stuff because we love doing it, and we carry these products because we take them. We don't just have stuff made that we keep in our house and then turn around and sell the Bobo GNC Walmart vitamins on our shelf. We don't do that, guys. And if you look at our ingredients and you compare them, you already know that. I can't even tell you how many people have called me up and said, man, I've been taking this vitamin from this company, or I've been taking this multiple from GNC, and nothing happened. I started taking yours within a couple days. I felt amazing. I hear that all the time. That's because our vitamins are bioavailable, they're absorbable, and they work. And that's why we carry them, because we want the best stuff that we can physically have for ourselves and our customers. And we want to help everybody the best we can, including getting everybody as healthy as possible to stand with us in the Patriot Movement and try and bring back this country to its constitutional roots. And you can't do that when you're sick on the couch, overweight, eating Pringles all day. It's not going to happen. You have to stand up and make something of yourself. You have to get your health back in line. That's one of the most important aspects of anything as far as physically, besides being right with God, is getting your health back, because there's very little you can do to make a difference if you're unbelievably sickly and out of shape and you can't help anybody, you can't do anything. All you do is sit around and be sick all day. So I encourage you guys, friends, family, try to motivate them the best you can to really change their behavior if they're involved in some of this stuff, because we only have one body, guys, and we have to take care of what God gave us while we're on this earth.
That's right. That's exactly right. In fact, I know with Doug Hagman a couple of years ago, his blood sugar was over 500, and so was Dave Hodges. And I told them both, I said, guys, if you can do insulin, or you can do metformin, which we know causes pancreatic cancer. And I said, there's all kinds of side effects from the insulin, or you can try, you know, a healthy dietary change, work with your doctors to get you off of these drugs they've given you, bring your sugars down naturally using our healthy, you know, healthy blood sugar protocol. And they both did it. And both of them were able to avoid being on insulin. Both of them were able to avoid the drugs. I remember Doug called me up one time. He's about to be hospitalized. He was so sick, he felt awful. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, Doug, you got to tighten it up. You got to listen to me. Just do this for 30 days. Just do what I tell you to do for 30 days. And finally, he called me back a couple weeks later. He goes, I can't tell you how good I feel. Same thing Dave Hodges told me. And Dave Hodges was going in for joint surgery. He had the left knee worked on. And I said, why don't you try the joint rebuilding formula? I said, just try it. I said, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, just try it. You may have to do surgery, but you can always try it. Call me back 2 weeks later. He goes, man, I'm like doing like little sprints in the gym now. I don't even have any pain at all in my knees. He goes, this is amazing. I said, well, yeah, this is what we do. We produce the highest quality supplements in the world, period. Nobody touches us. And by the way, thinking about diabetes, Johnson & Johnson has just warned insulin pump owners. These are the pumps that hook on your side that pump insulin automatically. These are electronic devices. That their owners could be killed by hackers. There you go. There's a good reason to try to get off of that mess. The only reason I'd take that if I was a juvenile diabetic. Johnson & Johnson this week, because you can't fix that with diet. Johnson & Johnson this week had to reach out to owners of the company's insulin pumps to warn them that the devices could be used to kill somebody by overdosing diabetic patients with insulin. According to the researchers, the devices were launched
with wireless connectivity in 2008 as a means of bringing added convenience to customers. But Johnson failed to encrypt the device's wireless traffic. As with pacemakers, an attacker needs to be relatively close to make this happen within 25 feet, resulting in Johnson & Johnson insisting that the overall risk was low. That's because they're not the ones dying. That's not really comforting. While this particular hack was publicized and fixed, there's a growing zero-day exploit market for medical device vulnerabilities that can be used to kill or injure an individual without detection, something that's going to be increasingly attractive to nation-state actors and private contractors using the Internet of Things for globally malicious activity. And potentially fatal with this. The rise of hackable medical devices has forced the FDA to issue formal guidelines on how medical devices makers should handle reports about cyber vulnerabilities. There's a reason right there if you're adult onset diabetic to find a way to do this without insulin right there. What do you think, son?
Yeah, that's a serious motivation to me. That's creepy. I never heard of that, but I figured if it's some wireless or Bluetooth setting, there's usually a way you can hack into it, guys. Even if it's encrypted, it just makes it much more difficult. The fact that they're making these things and didn't even bother to put any type of, safe haven on it to prevent that from happening. Granted, I don't know a lot of people that would be that sinister running around trying to tamper remotely, wirelessly with people's insulin pumps. To me, that's just sketchy. I mean, and like Dad said, there's a lot of options. People under the care of their doctor have been able to taper down on insulin using our products, but only under the care of their doctor. And that's what we try to help everybody do, is allow you to work with your doctor, but give you the knowledge and resources to naturally do it. And so there's a lot of options out there, guys. The Hagmann blood sugar protocol is one of our most effective natural healthy blood sugar supplement kits, and that's why it sells so well, because it works.
Well, it does. Now, remember, guys, it doesn't work by itself. You have to change your diet. We give you full dietary changes, suggestions on what to do. If you decide you want to eat, if you want to go suck down 14 tablespoons of sugar every hour, and you're going to try this, and you call me back and say, hey, it's not working, well, it does. It's not supposed to work with that. That's why you're diabetic to start with. You can't be eating like that. But you've got to change your diet, and you've got to help your body to rebuild itself. Because remember, guys, insulin is the leading cause of blindness in the United States, and it's the leading cause of amputations. And it's one of the primary, it's a massive increase in heart disease with insulin. We've gone into detail about how that insulin is a salt. It over-ionizes the blood vessels. It causes a lot of plaquing to develop on the inside of the blood vessels because it creates like a magnetic charge on the inside. And it causes this stuff to build up very, very quickly, especially even in the capillaries at the back of the eyes, causing diabetic retinopathy. So there's all kinds of problems with too much insulin in the system. Plus, it's a storage hormone. If you're healthy and you're not on diet and you're eating a lot of sugar and you start getting fatter and fatter and fatter because you're releasing all this insulin, it's one of the reasons that the guys basically drinking all the alcohol, which is a type of sugar, are getting fatter and fatter and fatter with these beer guts. And so that's the whole thing, guys. If you want to have a life of excellence in what you feel really, really good, you have to have a life of excellence in how you act and what you do and how you treat your body. I mean, the biggest problem we have with our bodies is that our health pretty much in most cases came as standard equipment at birth. And so most people just ignore it until it goes away. Guys, that's not the thing here. That's not bringing honor and glory to God. You've got to think through all these things, and you've got to realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but if you're going to combine it with a bunch of Twinkies and diet sodas and pork, it's just going to be rough, because the Bible says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and God's spirit lives within you, and if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. I mean, obesity is not a good thing. Gluttony is not a good thing. It's just these things are not okay. And so you have to realize if you eat this way and do these things to your body, why are you turning back now and asking God to heal you, because now you have cancer, or now you have heart disease, or now you have diabetes, and you knew that these things were going to happen to you. Now, if you were not educated about this and you didn't know anything about it and you weren't listening to our show yet, okay, then I'll believe God for a miracle with you. But guys, listen to me, and I've seen this happen repeatedly. If a person gets prayed for at the altar and they have a spontaneous healing, which I have seen, now, I haven't seen arms grow back and that kind of stuff, which I would like to do that because I believe God can do that. But I've seen spontaneous healings like from diabetes and other things like that. But the problem is, if the person goes right back to eating the way they had eaten before they got sick and came down with this disease, after they get healed, the disease just comes back on them again because it creates the same parameters all over again in the body. Yep. So let me put it this way. If you're following the Health Master's blood sugar protocol and your blood sugar is perfect, and you're doing great,
Doesn't it make sense? Had you been on that protocol to begin with, you never would have had high blood sugar? That's the point I'm trying to make. That's just an easy point. Okay, Austin, what's your next story? I think we're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, well, one last thing is pretty comical. Delusional Democrats now basically are thinking of everything they can. NBC News journalist Ron Allen basically went covering Obama's comments on the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Allen stated that Obama's efforts were designed to stop hurricanes, as if somehow paying carbon taxes to Al Gore will halt the spinning of the earth and stop hurricanes, which is pretty funny when you think about the fact that the United States government is usually pretty complicit in weather modification, even though it's illegal technically for them to use weather modification. We can see now, and I just told Dad before we started on the show, this hurricane is going to be barreling into us at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. this morning. It's bumped up to like a Category 4 again. They said it may be a Category 5 by the time it hits Daytona. And then it's going to hit South Carolina, and now randomly, it hasn't even made landfall yet on Florida, but the meteorologists now are already saying, well, it's going to hit South Carolina and then it's going to bounce around and spin back and head right back to Florida and cross Florida over again and go into the Gulf. How in the world do they know that it's going to do that? Weird of a prediction with this big of a hurricane, unless somebody is telling them that that's what's going to happen. To me, guys, some of this stuff that happens is pretty weird. When you start seeing it happen like this and they start predicting stuff like this, it almost seems to me as if they're trying to warn us in advance because they already know what's about to happen. So we're going to batten it down tonight. We'll be solid tomorrow. It'll be a nice, rainy, windy day. And, you know, we'll figure out what happens on Saturday. And then if it comes back, we'll take it again just like we have before. And that's because we're confident. We're confident in Jesus Christ. We're confident in what he's given us the knowledge to do here. And that's why I tell people, stay prepared in every aspect. Stay prepared spiritually, stay prepared physically, and stay prepared with, you know, health-wise and, you know, food and water-wise. If you have all those bases covered on a regular time, you don't have to run to the store. I talked to my friend the other day, like half the gas stations in Auburndale and Winter Haven stuff are out of gas. All the stores are out of water again. Everybody's gone and bought all the water out. That's fine. I've stored water. We have generators. We have solar panels. We have guns, ammo, whatever we need. We got all that on tap. It's because we've already planned and prepared accordingly beforehand. So we're not rushing out of the last second with the frenzy of masses trying to fill up our tanks and buy water off the shelf because we wait to the last second to do everything. That's why we tell everybody, you got to stay prepared.
That's right. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your B12 from us and all those fancy things that we make from us. Thanks for that. You know, without you guys supporting Health Masters, this show wouldn't even be possible and we couldn't talk to you every day. So God bless you. We love you. Austin, go ahead and close, bud.
Yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. If you need us, email us, call us.
Yeah, one more thing. Make sure you pray for us with a hurricane. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Go ahead, Austin. Sorry.
Absolutely. Email us or call us if you need anything. We'll be back on tomorrow as long as the phone systems are working properly. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.